Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome. Good to have you back with us here. You're listening to the Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA FM, the voice of the community, where we are celebrating 88 days of summer. Details at WEAA.org. And support for WEAA is provided by AAA Mid-Atlantic. More information available at 866-4-GLASS-1. Before we jump into our conversation with the folks from Intersection, let's look at our day in history. This is August the 15th, excuse me. On this day, a man named George Washington was born, who's married to a woman named Mary. And no, we're not talking about the president. He was a man who was born of a father who was a black man, a slave in 1817, and a white woman. He founded a city in Washington, in Oregon, called Centralia, and was a major leader and explorer in our country that we do not talk much about. We're going to honor his day today. This is a day in 1875 that Samuel Coleridge Taylor, the British composer, was born. Ethel Barrymore was born on this day in 1879, one of the greatest actresses of all time. Julia Childs, chef and author, was born on this day in 1912, as was Oscar Romero. 1917 he was born, the archbishop in El Salvador, who was murdered in 1980 by the squads funded by the United States government to stop the revolution and stop people from fighting for social justice, which he was doing in El Salvador, and gunned him down in his church. He was born on this day in 1917. This is the day in 1938 that Maxine Waters, congresswoman from California, was born. And this is the day in 1954 that Stieg Larsson was born. I don't know if you read the books, but they're great books and good movies. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and more. He wrote those books, was born in 1954, died in 2004. This is the day one of the great comedians and social satirists in our country, Will Rogers, was born. Died in 1935. And one of my favorite painters was born in 1898, died on this day in 1967. René Magritte was born, the Belgian painter. If you don't know the work of René Magritte, just Google it and take a look. You'll be shocked what you see. This is in 1824 that American slaves established Liberia in 1824. It's also the day the Wizard of the Oz opened, one of the great movies of all time, opened in 1939 at the Grauman Theater in Los Angeles. This is the day in 1945 that Japan surrendered to the United States, and we will be talking about Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the atomic and hydrogen bombs today on this program for a short period. This is the day in 1962 the Shady Grove Baptist Church was burned down in Leesburg, Georgia. Shady Grove was at the center of a lot of civil rights work and was burned to the ground by segregationist terrorists. This is also the day the Beatles first came to the United States and played to 60,000 fans in the Shea Stadium in New York. This is the day in 1973 that the United States bombing of Cambodia ended was a huge cause for demonstrations around the United States to end the war in Vietnam. It's a case that many of you probably do not remember unless you were of a certain age. In 1975, a woman named Joanne Little was acquitted on murder charges. August 27, 1974, she killed her white jailer who had sexually assaulted her, and she got an ice pick and stabbed him to death. Many people in America were happy that she was freed, but many were shocked that she was freed and didn't think that would happen. But she was acquitted that day of murder charges because she was African American and her attacker was white. This is also the day that Ambassador Young in 1979, who was also, you know, mayor of Atlanta, had to resign as the United Nations ambassador because he met with the Palestinian Liberation Organization. It caused a huge controversy in the black and Jewish communities. He was later elected mayor of Atlanta. And it's the reason that a group in Baltimore was founded called the Blues. Blacks and Jews in Dialogue was started in 1979 around that whole issue of the firing of Andrew Young because he talked to the PLO, which I think he had every right to do. I'm glad he did. And this is also the day that of the Omagh bombing in Northern Ireland. This was during that period in 1998. We covered this intensely in our archives. Our dozens of shows with Irish people around that time. 29 people were killed as a result of that attack, 220 injured. That's today in history. This is also the day in 2005. Israel disengaged from Gaza, they didn't quite set Gaza free. They closed the settlements, but the people of Gaza are still starving. There's my commentary and take on today in history. Now let's turn to our program. We are talking to the Intersections Listening Campaign. Danya Johnson's back with us.
Hey.
Good to see you, Danya. Donya is a senior at Seton Kehoe High School. Donche Golder is with us. Good to see you again.
Donche, excuse me.
Good to have you back with us. Senior at Bluford, Drew Jemison STEM Academy. Going to your senior, you're both going to senior year, right?
Junior.
You're junior. You're senior.
Yes.
And Zeke Berzov-Cohen, co-founder and executive director of The Intersection, is in the studio as well.
Good to see you, Mark.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Join us on Facebook. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. We'll see what y'all got to say. So let me start with you both. Donya, talk a bit about, again, for our listeners, what this campaign was and what you all did during the summer.
So this summer, we went around Baltimore City, and we talked to more than 400 people, asking them what was one thing that we could do to reduce the amount of gun violence in Baltimore. Many people responded from anything to from jobs to youth development, and they really had a lot to say about what they wanted done in their city. And we thought that this was important to do because we felt like everybody was yelling and everybody was fussing about gun violence and the effects that it had had, but nobody was listening. And we felt that it was our job to, instead of just doing something, we thought that it was our job to listen to the people and what they wanted done.
And what neighborhoods did you go to, Dante? Where were you?
We visited several areas in Baltimore, one of which was Perkins Homes. Another was Fulton Avenue.
So you went through different parts of the city?
Yes, sir.
Some in Northeast, the East Side, and the West Side.
Yes.
So I'm curious what you found. I mean, let me start it this way. What came out of it for you all, and maybe your comrades in this effort, that you didn't expect, don't you? What came out of it that you did not expect?
We got so many voices, and that was very unexpected. There are many people across Baltimore who, as Donya have said, are crying out with these solutions, but with so many people not listening to them, it was just very shocking to me that there were so many people with so many views that weren't being heard.
And like, what views did you hear that you think are not being heard?
I believe views such as the solutions they gave. Uh-huh. Solutions such as family resources, youth engagement, community engagement, things like that.
And Donya, what did you? I mean, what kind of popped? Did you, something pop out at you that you weren't expecting in all this?
I didn't feel like adults were not listened to. Like, I just thought that that was something that kids in Baltimore went through. Nobody listening to them unless they had, you know, powerful backup or whatever. But I found out that there are so many adults in the city and so many people who have amazing things to say and amazing solutions who just aren't listened to. This woman, she was talking to me and she said, you know, our elected officials don't listen to us. Our community representatives don't listen to us. The people who are supposed to listen to us and take our input, they never listen to us and never listen to anything that we have to say. And I thought that that was so powerful that this woman had so many amazing things. She thought that youth development was really important and that youth should have training opportunities and that youth should have recreation centers that did more than just athletic activities. She thought that all these things were important, and nobody had really took that those powerful thoughts and harnessed them and used them. So
that's and so and did you find that around more than one person that was happening? People, I mean, your feelings and senses that people are not being heard and listened to. Well, let me take a different tact. What does that say to you that adults in your communities and the communities that you canvassed are not being listened to, are not being heard? What does that say to you all?
I think that says that we as citizens of Baltimore need to take power because this is our city. And we elect people to represent us and represent our thoughts, not, you know, what they want or not what will be beneficial to the 1%. We elect people and we have community organizations and we have recreation centers to service us. And we need to remember that this is our city and we should hold ourselves accountable for making sure that we're heard.
I believe that it means that we're losing progress. As a youth in Baltimore, I understand that all, not all, but most youth aren't really listened to. And to think that the adults also aren't being listened to says a lot, since those are the same people who actually have the power that the youth seek.
You about to say something, Zeke?
I was just going to say that I see this whole sort of gun violence campaign, the violence itself, I think, is a symptom of that feeling of powerlessness. When people pick up a gun and use it, it doesn't show strength. It shows their feeling of weakness. And I think that that's what you see when we have all this violence in East and West Baltimore, is people who haven't felt listened to, people who haven't felt like they can contribute, people who don't have meaningful employment or a living wage or a decent education. I think that's where a lot of the violence that we've seen this summer and in the past is coming from.
Folks, join us here, 410-319-8888. These are young people who, in our community, in the intersection, who are actually trying to make a difference, are making a difference, and are doing something in the community and trying to address the issues we all face. Young people who are going to be the leaders of tomorrow, enter into this dialogue at 410-319-8888. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Your own thoughts about violence in our community, about why you think it's there, and what can be done about it. Maybe it's different than these young people have heard. Maybe it's the same. Maybe it expands it. 410-319-8888. So what are you all going to do with this information?
We are going into the planning phase of this campaign for the next part. We will take what we found. And the biggest thing that people said was youth development. They said we need to invest more in our youth, more time, energy, and money into our youth and into recreation centers and into our youth being having training, professional training. And they thought that that was really, really important. And I agree. I feel like, you know, I found my family in the intersection, and that is a youth. We are a youth development organization, and that is important for all youth to have some type of youth development. So with this information that we found, we will advocate around it, and we will try to make more youth development in Baltimore.
Don't you? I'm going to add to that, and we'll open the phones here.
Yes. As Danya said, we look to work towards youth development, but we don't want to just do that amongst ourselves. We plan to work with the city council as well as the community, because those are the people we reached out to. They're just as important as anybody else.
410-319-8888 number here, and Reverend Meredith, you're on the line. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to send a shout out to your lovely panel and thank you for just the courageous work that you're doing. And we have to remember that most movements do start with young people. And so you all are on the right track. And secondly, I wanted to say I find it very ironic how the media is in this frenzy regarding violence in some of the more Tony neighborhoods, like someone mentioned some. Yeah, Roland Park and, oh, my God, Little Italy. Meanwhile, there's a bloodbath going on throughout Baltimore. And I find the selective rage distasteful and disgusting, because truthfully, that we have stock in every human being that lives in Baltimore City. And so when we value one life over another life, what does that say about the life of our city as a whole? Very few people seem to value life in general. And I'm so glad that these young people that you have on there and the people that are working with them are a testament that we have to believe in humanity and work to heal this city, whether it be from the ground up, because obviously it's not happening from the top down. So thank you so much. Continue the good work.
Thank you so much. Any thoughts on what Meredith was saying?
I feel like I agree. You know, we should value every life. And I feel like with this campaign going into youth development and showing that we value the education and the investment that we put in our youth is important. I was just thinking back to my cousin who really, you know, took care of me and who really provided for me financially and emotionally during a time when no one else would. And I was just thinking that if he had somebody who invested in him the way Intersection invests in me, he would still be here. My cousin was shot 6 times in his back, and he bled to death. And that was a breaking point for me. And luckily, during a time when I thought to, you know, hurt the person who hurt me mm-hmm. in that way, the intersection was there for me to fall back on. So I feel like it is so important to show our youth that we care about them and that we care about their development and their growth and that they are valuable because that I know every time I have the opportunity to speak or every time I have the opportunity to talk to somebody who's willing to listen to me, I feel valuable. So that is something that is important to instill in our youth.
What you're describing now, before we go to the next caller, JL is our next caller. I think the name is correct on the screen. Is really critical because that's what we don't have in the city for young people is a place that where people can go to understand what it means to live through violence and see violence around you and when things happen to you. Because your normal reaction, any of our normal reactions if somebody we love is hurt or killed, is to want to go get the person who did it. That's just a human. Right. There's just something that's in you. You want to go after the person who hurt the person that you love. And it's the society in our neighborhoods and our families and our culture that's supposed to help calm us down to get things done the right way. And that's something that's missing in a lot of young people's lives.
Right.
And I think there's a piece of responsibility with our city that we haven't talked about in this conversation yet, which is just quick story. We presented our findings the other night at the city council. Brandon Scott had invited us in, Councilman Scott. And we did this presentation and a couple of the council people came in and sort of, you know, patted everyone on the back and said, great job. And this is amazing. And you guys are our future. In the other room, they were passing the TIF, which was an $107 million tax subsidy to our development community in Harbor Point. And thinking about these two things where on the one hand, you're giving a hand clap to these young people, but really ignoring the message because that $107 million could have gone into after-school programming, could have gone into rec centers, could have gone into the types of mediation programs that you and Danya are talking about. So when Danya talks about holding people accountable, that's it. Build had put out a plan to take half the TIF and put it directly into parks and recs. I don't think they need six parks in Harbor East. But I know that our kids in Park Heights and in Perkins Homes really do.
And also maybe invest in some people who know how to do counseling, know how to mediate in neighborhoods, know how to work with young people and make things work. I've been seeing that for a long time. I mean, I came back to Baltimore in the early 70s. That was the job we had. There was a job that Parks and Rec was funded to do, which was a hire of about 75 people assigned to different neighborhoods in the city. You were a street club worker, and your job was to work with young people, and you had no agenda. You would work in a rec center, worked out of a church, wherever you did work out of, but your job was to work with young people, stop the crime, stop the violence, and work with young people to help them through what they're going through. That's the kind of stuff you need more of in the city, not less. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And so that was interesting juxtaposition the other night. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Jail, do I have your name right? You're on the air.
He said Jim.
Jim, I'm saying, says Jail on my screen. Jim, welcome.
Yeah, all right, Jim. Well, good morning.
Good morning,
and
Jim.
I came in on the tail end of the conversation, but I'm always interested when you're talking about young people.
Good.
We've had numerous of programs in the city that from the onset, it always was good. I mean, we had the PAL, and we were paying police $50,000 a year to oversee kids, but the main thing we need in our community, in the inner city right now, we don't have five black entrepreneurs that can give kids a job for $5 an hour for 12 weeks so they can go back to school. Everything is economic. Now, the perception of the kids in the hood, and I've been on the street since I was seven. My mother died of substance abuse, and I'm 78 years old. Ever since they stopped knocking down the doors and putting them on the corner so the white man didn't lose his drugs, we've had a problem. Yeah, isn't it funny that we're the only group that has the people standing on the corner selling drugs and they wrap them around with the Constitution? Now, a kid gets out of school in June, that he comes by my house and he says, I've been in this neighborhood 52 years. He says, hi, Mr. Mayor, but by September, he calls me big man, because in order to be accepted in this community, he can't be that kind of guy. He's got to emulate the other guy. Now, if you have a community where no money circulates and you have people that don't believe that don't see any entrepreneurs behind the counter, why should they believe it can happen to them when they don't see that?
Jim, I appreciate it. What are your thoughts? Go ahead, Dante.
Well, Mr. Jim, and I'm hoping I'm saying your name right, with these recreation centers and with the youth development, we hope to have job training and specific things set up so that these youth can see that it's not just about going somewhere and playing around, because we can play around at home, but we're also preparing them for the future. Like you, I've just recently lost a family member to gun violence. My cousin was gunned down in her car on Pennsylvania Avenue. And with these recent stories, we really have gotten to understand how people feel in these, I'd say, times of need. We do need jobs and job readiness, but at the same time, we need to cater to the needs of the children. Just recently, in a story I heard from a teacher in an alternative school, she asked her student why he needs a gun, and his response was, it makes him stronger. So basically, what we're trying to figure out is, why do you need a gun to be stronger when you could have knowledge which provides and creates these jobs which you are talking about?
I think that you know, listening to both of you speak, it's very moving to hear. I think all of us should listen to what we just heard from both Danya and Dante today in the studio, Danya Johnson and Dante Golder of Intersection, who both have suffered intimate lessons about violence in their lives and have chosen the path to change society and change themselves and get themselves strong and straight for the future. That's a very powerful message. It also says to me, to say to all of us, and say to our political leaders, and is that you invest in young people and put the money out there. So it's not that Zeke is doing a great job, and I love the Intersection. I'm on their board. I think it's an incredible group. But it shouldn't be left to nonprofits. This community needs to invest in our children so that their stories are not unique stories, but everyday stories of people, young people who are going to make it in this community, to invest in our young people. And I think that's one of the lesson I get from all the stuff that Zeke Berzov-Cohen and the Intersection and all these young people, Danya Johnson and Dante Golder, are doing, says that to me very loud. And I hope it says it loud enough to you so that we say that to our community leaders. I'll remind you that tonight at Liberty Elementary School at 3901 Main Avenue, which is right off of Forest Park and Garrison. What, are you going to say something?
Okay. Yeah.
At 6:30 tonight, student leaders from the Intersection will be hosting an event to include their citywide gun violence listening campaign and share the results with the community. During the event, the Intersection students, teachers, and collaborating groups will portray their thoughts and findings from speaking with over 450 members of our community. This event will call for a pledge from the community to support us as we unite to reflect on the ideas that have come from our community and the steps we can take to reduce gun violence and work with these young people that we have. So go there tonight, 3901 Main Avenue, Liberty Elementary School, 6:30 this evening, and to support our young people, support the Intersection. It's also the elementary school that I went to.
What?
It is. So I went to elementary school. So I want to thank Danya Johnson and Dante Golder for being here in the studio today and the work that you both are doing for yourselves and for the community. It's a pleasure to always see you two in the studio. Thank you both for coming in here.
Thank you for having us.
And Zeke Berzov-Cohen, Executive Director for the Intersection. Good to have you in the studio, and thank you for what you're doing as well.
Always good to be here.
And again, as a full disclosure and transparency, we have a lot of groups in the studio talking about their work. I happen to be on the board of the Intersection. That's not why they're in the room. I've been a supporter of the Intersection even before I join their board. And even after I leave their board, I'll be supporting the Intersection because they're doing the work that we should be doing as a government community that we're not. So someone's got to do it. Good to have you all here. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a very brief break and come back with a national roundtable. We first will look at the mandatory minimum sentencing that's plaguing this country, with 20% of the world's prisoners being in jail in the United States of America, and also look at voting rights around the country. Two major national issues coming up in the next part of our program. Stay with us. We'll be right back.